Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to The Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. And tonight we're going to start a very interesting series. It is a mini-series, and what we've done for the last few years is we have focused on an important aspect of amazing Black history. When we talk about the subject of Black history, we see many people with their eyes begin to glaze over, particularly if they are not Black, because they don't feel that it has anything for them. But there is a world of information that should be available to all people, but it is not taught in our schools. Why isn't it taught in our schools? Because in many cases, there are subject matters that escape attention. One, because they can be embarrassing to European people. Embarrassing because they show the inhumanity of man to man. They can be embarrassing because they show a lack of integrity. Yes, a lack of integrity on the part of dealing with other people in terms of legal documents, in terms of treaties, in terms of dealing with people as human beings. And most of our instructors in this area have not been instructed in these matters. Because as we start off, and we're going to go way back, and we'll go back and forth, because it's important, because we cannot segregate one part of it without the other. And it's essential that we do this. Because when we talk about slavery, for example, there are many people that don't want to talk about slavery. Slavery has been with us basically from the start of the Union. Basically from the start of the Union, we have had slavery in some form or another. We began importing people from Africa. These are not the only people that have been represented as slaves, because slave actually comes from the Slavic countries. And there were white slaves in the early days. But we found a resource in terms of Black people that were imported from Africa in most cases. And this did not indicate that there were not Black people here before Columbus or before other explorers. Because if we read in detail Columbus's journals, we will find there is indications that there were Black people here prior to Columbus. We don't want people to know this information, because we look at it from the standpoint that we had to be the Europeans had to be the source of all good. All information of a good nature had to have come from Europe, not necessarily the truth. Now, as we start into this program, many of you are joining us on your devices. And on those devices, we appreciate you. We hope that you'll listen. We hope that you will learn. We hope that you will share with other people. Because this month, or the month coming up, February, we will post daily information of a specific nature that talks about some of the hazards to becoming full-fledged citizens of the United States of America. It's a little bit difficult. Now, I am having a little bit of a thick tongue. I am recovering from COVID. And, man, let me tell you, there can be, it takes its effects. And so, therefore, a little bit late in some of the information that's coming forth, but I want you to understand that it is very sincere information that you are obtaining. So if you're listening on your device, there are times when we will open the microphone and allow you to interact with us. I want to do that because I don't accept everything that I say to be without controversy. I think that there are other people that have wisdom, that have studied these areas, and there are questions. And one of the most important things that we can do is open ourselves to the possibility of questions. Why is this the case? Why don't we know about our history? And I say our history because it's difficult to separate out one group from another. And let me give you an example of this. When we look at our railroads, we look at being able to ship goods from coast to coast, from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast. And this is a remarkable invention. It has allowed us the ability to ship goods across the entire United States of America. But when we look at who did the work, and we look at that picture of Promontory Point, Utah, and we see the people there that supposedly did the work, what we see is a cast of almost 100% Europeans. They are not the ones who built it. Most of the labor that was used was Asian labor. But why can't we tell people? Why can't we inform people of this fact? Is that something embarrassing? I don't think it is. I think it shows an inclusion in America that should be a basic principle. Basic principle. But it is not. And we have so many other cases where influences of other people have built and helped build this country into the great country that it is. Why can't we share this information? Why does it have to be hidden? Why does there have to be a winner and a loser in everything that comes up? This is the problem that we face today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And I do hope that we have a younger audience listening to us because these are principles that you need to understand. You need to understand why they are not in our history books. When I began as a young student, I used to look forward to what at the time was Negro History Week. And there have been jokes about it. Why is it the shortest month of the year? I'll tell you why. Because Carter G. Woodson realized that most people did not know about the achievements of people of color. Most did not, because it was not being taught. And so he came up with the concept of Negro History Week. And the week of February, a week in February, which is the same length as any other week, was chosen. And why was it chosen? Because of Abraham Lincoln, because of Frederick Douglass, because of a couple of very important people in the history of black people. And it grew. In 71, I believe it was the students at Kent State, said there is so much information here that it cannot be contained in 1 week. And so if we expanded to Negro History or Black History Month, and there is still too much there. But we miss an important concept, and that is, in Woodson's view, what we should do is learn to study black history all year long and come together during this Black History Month celebration and share it. We have not shared information. And so what we're going to see is a lot of information that could be embarrassing to a number of people, but it's embarrassing only because we don't acknowledge it, because we don't let people know about it. We have white people who say, I have nothing to do with that. That's them people over there, not realizing how close you and they are. And this works on both sides of the fence, folks, both sides of the fence. Because we see situations develop that are almost unspeakable. When we start talking about Thomas Jefferson and his black family, it wasn't until fairly recently and with the advent of DNA that we began to understand that, yes, he did have a black family. How can we as a country continue to ignore and put away salient facts that are important to the very foundation of our country and not acknowledge them? This is what we're doing. And we're going to talk about some. One of the primary themes we're going to talk about has to do with race riots and race massacres. And many people will hear these terms and say, in America? Yes, in America. Because America does not have clean hands. We have not had clean hands. And when I begin to tell you about these incidences that happened all over this country, you'll begin to see we talk about history and that we come up with cute little phrases that say that you need to understand history or you're destined to repeat it. The history that you learn is not factual. If it's not built on solid ground, if it's not built on a solid foundation, it's a lie. And you cannot learn from a lie. This is why we have the difficulties that we have now. We're going to talk about some concepts that are very, very recent because we're going to talk about the concept of what happened in Memphis. And Memphis is no different than what we have been seeing in front of our eyes and having difficulty believe for years now. This is no different than what we have always seen and what people have recognized. There are people that have recognized what's taking place, and there are those that are deniers, deniers of fact. But until we face fact, until we can look at it and understand that these are the facts. Let us build on it. And is it embarrassing to some people? Yes, it's embarrassing to some people. It is embarrassing to me. Why? Because I thought as a degreed person that I had reached a certain pinnacle of information, that I knew a certain amount. And when I found out that I knew nothing, I knew basically nothing, it was embarrassing. Embarrassing beyond belief. And this is why I have embarked on this particular journey. You'll come to AmazingBlackHistory.com, and we intend to post every Thursday new articles, except during February, when we will post daily. There is also an exception in March. What is March? March is Women's History Month. And we have excellent women that we need to talk to you about, because the same situation has existed. Now, why do we do this? Because I believe that greatness comes from people who understand who they are, where they come from, what they have done. We are always presented with information that basically says the only thing that black people have done in this country is been slaves. And this is very far from the truth, very, very far from the truth. As you look at Amazing Black History, you will see almost 300 posts, and they will be eye-opening posts. But they are, for all practical purposes, hidden. We do have some people that have exposed a number of problems. We come up with a situation where we like to repeat, everybody has the opportunity to succeed in America. Everybody. One of the biggest falsehoods that you will ever, ever hear. Because the federal government condoned segregation. How did they condone segregation? When we were going through a rapid period of growth in this country, housing was at a premium. But do you realize the federal government would not subsidize any housing if it were for more than one race? If it were for more than one race, we sometimes hear the term critical race theory. Oh, and we pout our chest out as if we know what we're talking about, but we have no idea what we're talking about. Now, I want those of you that are listening on your device to realize that you too can call in and you can make comments. You can ask questions. You can disagree. You can agree. And this is what this program is about. It is about communication. And the number that you want to call in on is 646-668-8217. Do not lose this number, because every week we come to you and we talk about subjects just like this. We sometimes hear from you, and we love it, because we sometimes get turned on to subjects that you are aware of that we may not be aware of. It is a learning experience. There are many, many white people that are carrying a burden to this point, because our history has been one-sided. We come to a belief that all people in the South were in favor of slavery. That is not true. There were people in the South opposed to slavery, just as there were people in the North who were pro-slavery. But we get a skewed picture when we look at statistics. About 2% of all Americans owned significant numbers of slaves and became enormously wealthy, 2%. But we go around with many, many white people afraid to look into history because they think it's going to show that they were a part of that 2%. I don't care if you're part of that 2%. Why don't I care if you are part of that 2%? Because I can't go back and change history, and neither can you. But what we can do is we can study that history, and we can begin to move forward. We can begin to move forward. We can begin to resolve our problems. We can begin to make progress. And when we make progress, it isn't just for one group as opposed to another. Because when you begin to look at some of the things that we are talking about, many of you now are able to listen to this program because of something called VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol, that allows many of the communications to take place over the internet. We've had landlines for years, but the difficulty in getting speech over the internet has been particularly different. When you look back 1 or 2 weeks ago, we did a program on a person by the name of Dr. Miriam Croak, C-R-O-A-K, and she developed and is considered the founding member of the VOIP. And this allows us to use Zoom, RingCentral, and many of the other programs. This lady is a vice president of Google, very well established, has over 100 patents in the area of VOIP. All total, 200 patents, over 200 patents in other areas. When we have a person like this, that influences that little young girl, regardless of the color of her eyes, the color of her hair, the background, her parents, whatever. This is what I think America has promised us. This is what it can do for us. And we find out that this is a little brown girl who can inspire not only girls, but boys, men. Then we begin to see the potential of what we have here. We have gone to extraordinary steps to make sure that we didn't have competition among races. There were laws on the books that said you cannot teach people of color, whether slave or free, to read or write. And the intent of that was discriminatory on its face. On its face. Because if you were able to learn and understand where you came from, and we often have stories that basically say there was no intelligence in Africa, none. But when we began to look there, we began to find amazing concepts. The concept of mathematics started on the continent of Africa. When we look at much of what we know about it, many of those systems take us back 2,000-3,000 years ago, four maybe. But when we begin to look at some of the earlier systems, there are systems that go back 18,000-20,000 years ago, started in Africa, and they benefit us all. So we need to get out of this shelter out of this concept that we can blow off 25% of the people and succeed. Let's get past that, folks. Do you realize that just recently we witnessed a young man being beaten to death by five officers? Black man, weighed about 140 pounds, almost 6 foot tall, and is beaten by five officers, all black, who probably weighed 200 pounds apiece. This is not civilized living. It's not. And something needs to be done about it. We have people that say, oh, it's them people. Them people. When we look at one of our basic concepts, we look at the Statue of Liberty. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. But we fail to take in the line that should be immediately above that. And that is, you keep your best. You keep what you've got. You give us the rest, and we will make them successful. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the principle of America. And we cannot do that until we find a formula that works for all people. 29-year-old man who is yelling for his mother because he is being pummeled to death. They find no evidence of a traffic violation, which is what they claim. As we watch the video, they're holding his arm saying, give us your arms. Well, how can you give them up and somebody's holding you? Folks, these are situations, and we're going to go into some of the other horrific cases that come up. Because when I talk to you about massacres and when I talk to you about riots, and we sometimes wonder what's the difference, sometimes it's only a definition by an insurance company. A massacre means that many people were killed. But if we can call it a riot, we don't have to pay them for their property. And we overlook the humanity that takes place. We overlook the humanity that takes place. In 1919, we had what is known as the Red Summer. And that Red Summer came because many, many black people fought in World War I. And what were they fighting for? They were fighting for their humanity. They were willing to take up arms. They were willing to put their lives on the line, just as they were in prior episodes where we're going to go back. We're going to go back to the 1860s and beyond and show you the horrific fight that took place in trying to obtain equality of the races. And there are some people that think that the only thing black people want is to be able to put their feet under a white person's kitchen table. Let me tell you, I have worked with many. I've seen them come out of the bathroom without washing their hands, and that is not the highest thing on my list of want-to-dos. I want to have my ability measured against somebody else's ability. Straight up. No favors, no impartiality. I mean, well, I want impartiality. But this is what we have to, is what we have to look forward to. When that young man was beaten, not the first person that's been beaten in this country, there are those that say, no, I don't believe it. Now, I'm going to open up microphones shortly. One of them I'm going to open is to our dear friend, Marshall James, who I've spoken to earlier today. Marshall, like me, has had some health problems this last week. But I do like Marshall because Marshall is in my age group, but Marshall has been active. What we have to do is we have to learn to accept the facts that are there. We have to learn to build on them, and we must move forward. Before I get to that point, I want to talk about Martin Luther King, because we just celebrated his birthday. And I want people to realize that when he was killed, he was in Memphis, Tennessee, fighting for dignity of all people. There were garbage collectors who were not being given a fair wage. There was a garbage collector killed because they were not given the opportunity to go somewhere for lunch, and so they had to sit on the back of the trucks, and somebody crushed these people in the truck, crushed them. And so they were fighting for fair, equitable wages for all. And then we come along and see that we have not made the progress that we sometimes think that we have made. Because here is a man. Now, when we start looking at statistics, just because you have black officers does not mean that they don't shoot, kill, do everything else that white officers do. We need to get to a point where we recognize people as people. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, I want the content of the character of my children to be the measure, just as I want that to be the measure of your children. You think that we don't have prejudices? We do. At some point in time, we can go into that. And I want to let you know, because I'm sure that there are those of you listening that may want to join you, and I'll give you that number again. That's 646-668-8217. Keep that, because we come to you every week. We come to you with a message. We come to you with factual information. We're going to talk about Nat Turner. We're going to talk about the Stonewall Rebellion. We're going to talk about other events that took place. We're going to talk about John Brown's raid and how most people are not aware of the role played by Mary Ellen Pleasant, a black woman from San Francisco, California, in the 1860s, who financed that entire raid. John Brown's intent, John Brown was a white man who was intent on getting weapons out of the federal arsenal, given to black people so that they could defend themselves, so that they could defend themselves. Have you ever heard the story? Have you understood the significance? We don't have to give people weapons these days, but we do need to give them the ability to participate in our government, to participate in our different programs. And we cannot have this failure to remember. We must remember George Floyd. We made a decent push, but we cannot continue to see these situations come up and go away, come up and go away. Do you realize that it took over 120 years to pass a federal law to make it a federal crime to lynch a person in America over 120 years? Is that the country that you want to be a part of? Is that what you want to be proud of? Is that what you're afraid that your children will learn in school? If it is, then we've got a long ways to go. A long ways to go. Now, I am at the moment going to open the microphone with my friend, Marshall James, see if he has any particular comments that may have been spurred up until this point. Marshall, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Abercrombie. Yes, sitting here listening to you with all of this good information. You doing okay today?
I'm doing well today.
Yes,
glad
I'm fine. Glad to know that. I talked with you last week. You was kind on the weather, and so was I. Both of us been in the hospital, but thank God, they say God is good, and he sure enough is.
Yes, God is good.
Yes, I was listening to you, talking, and we were talking about the Black History Week and the Black History Month, the Black History Celebration. That is one thing that I think we need to really clarify with our people. It's not so much about the barbecuing and all of that. It's about history and giving out the good information about Black people, because we know that you cannot find it in the books. It's been researched. That's what you do. You do the research and you find out the real deal. So we have to understand that. We need to not barbecue and have smoke where you can't see. We need to have it where the people can understand some of the great things that great parts that African Americans have played here in the United States of America. There's some great things that we have done. Now, my brother and I, they talking about writing a book on us, and when they were going to write the book on us, some people out of Greenville came over the other week, and when they start finding out about us and find out what our grandfather did, they said, oh, hold up, we gonna have to start this back with Grandpa. Because there are great things that has happened, and nobody know anything about it. That's why we're going to call our little program A Little Unknown Black History Fact. That's what we're going to call it, Little Unknown Black History Fact, because they're out there. But when we sit back in our comfort zone, and that's where I find most of us Black people are, mostly our leaders, they're in that comfort zone, and they don't want to leave that comfort zone. But I bet you they ain't leaving that ball game this afternoon. I bet you that. They ain't leaving that. That's where the comfort zone is at, in that ball game. And what is that ball game? What can I get out of that ball game? I don't have no $2 billion bid up on it and hoping I'm going to win. So what can you get out of the ball game? We need the knowledge. Knowledge is what we need so we can face these obstacles that we face each and every day. My independence,
yes,
you don't even hear that no more about teaching young people about your independence. Be independent. It's not what America can do for you. What is it that you can do for America? Don't sit back and wait on somebody to do something. Go ahead on and do it. But that's where we are at. We're in that comfort zone. And these young police officers out there who beat up on that young man. Now, when they killed George Floyd and others, I sit and watched and listened, and I shed some tears. But in this case, not only did I shed tears, I cried. Now, I tell you what. Somebody said, how long? Lord, how long? Been saying that forever, but Lord knows, I'm serious. Something has to be done. If it was a way maybe we could hold one of our parties, which is the Republican Party, accountable for this act, because they can make a difference. when I know these police officers, and Lord knows we need police officers. I'm not saying one word against the good one, but there's something that I would like to say. The good police officers need to be rewarded, and the bad police officers need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent.
Yes.
These men whoop up on this young man like that, they are African American. But they have to do, when they get to the point where they think they wanted the good old boy, and you think you can do what the good old boy do, but you're going to find out. You can't do what them good old boys do. They gonna find that out. As fast as they
right.
have moved with this case already, oh yeah, they gonna find out. You're not one of the good old boys. Who wanna be one of them?
Now here's something else that comes up. Because when you talk about going back to your grandfather and looking at what he has done, there are so many of us listening to this program right now.
Yes.
That have grandparents, great-grandparents that have done remarkable things, but because we did not see it in that book, we act as if it didn't happen. And we have so many people. I look at my great-uncle who started a school in Simpsonville. And, you know, I didn't know anything about the Rosenwald schools. I didn't know anything about all of the other efforts that were taking place to educate black kids. And when we start looking in some of our neighborhoods, we find heroes all over the place that we have just shunned because we are expecting somebody else to give us the information. Now, one of the purposes of AmazingBlackHistory.com is to be an exchange, a resource. That's why I give this number, so that if you have questions, you've heard stories about a relative of yours, let's bring it up. Let's talk about it. Somebody probably knows something about it. And I find out that on both sides of my family, my father's side and my mother's side. My mother's people were owned by William Henry Gist. And some people say, who in the hell is William Henry Gist? He is the governor of South Carolina who signed the secession order, taking South Carolina out of the United States government. We end up with a story about the Confederacy, that is nothing but a lie. And that is because the loser is telling our history. And we need to find out what that history is. Whenever there is a win on the side of equal rights, we look at the number of monuments that went up after Brown v. Board. And we find that number increased drastically. There are other events that take place. It's a middle finger salute from the South, not wanting to admit that they lost this war. And they turn their back on giving up equality. What happened? Let me give you an example. Down in Hamburg, South Carolina, people wanted to vote, and black people wanted to vote, and they killed 100-and-some people down there. 100-and-some black people were killed trying to register to vote. Is there a monument to them? No. What do they have? They have a monument to 3 white people that killed the black people who wanted to vote. And it's about time that we begin to understand that this is what America is about. And unless we change it, it will always be there. It can change, and it must change. But we must learn our history. Now, we've got this clown down in Florida that won't even have an advanced placement course on black history because he doesn't know anything about it, and he's afraid of it. That's what it is. He is afraid that if anybody has done anything besides him, that he's going to look bad. I'm going to tell you, he is looking bad right now. But we need to make sure that we understand that we know why, how, and what we can do about it. We often come together and see people saying, well, we can't do anything about it. That's a bunch of BS, because look at Martin Luther King. Look at Ralph Abernathy. Look at other leaders that have made changes. When we look at, I forget the guy's name, but he was the first black to run for president of the United States from North Carolina in 1901. That made it possible for people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and ultimately Barack Obama to win. Every inch we get and we understand is a movement in the right direction of what this country was intended to be. And we can't afford to sit around and do nothing. It is time that we understand who we are. When we look at Cotton Mather, and Cotton Mather was a slave owner back in the 1700s, Boston was being decimated with smallpox. And Cotton Mather said to Onesimus, his slave, have you had smallpox? And he said, yes and no. He said, what do you mean? And he described how in Africa they were vaccinating people. And when they looked at the data, because Cotton Mather talked a doctor into vaccinating some people, a crude method of doing it, that those that did not get vaccination, 14 out of 100 died. But this information that came out of Africa, 2 out of 100 died. And so we don't want to give credit where credit is due. We find significant changes in our society. When we look at Dr. Daniel Drew, the first person to perform surgery, open-heart surgery, on a beating human heart, and it was successful. And that man lived for decades afterwards. Don't you think that's something that we want people to know? No, we want to hide it, because we think if a black person did something, it's not noteworthy. But to the students right now who is in second, third, fifth, tenth, ninth, whatever grade, that may be the difference between what separates me from having Alzheimer's or some other dreaded disease. We need to turn loose our best. We need to let the dogs out, and we need to let them do what they can do best, and that is to pursue the best that they have. And that's what we're all about. That's what we're all about. Those of you that are listening, don't be afraid to call in. If you have a question, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask it, because I've had these questions, excuse me, for decades. And I was afraid to look them up. I'm going to tell you how I got started into black history. I went to Coloma in El Dorado County in California. And this is the site of Sutter's Mill. This is where gold was discovered in 1848 in California. It was discovered by a friend with a very similar name. Rather than Marshall James, it was James Marshall. And he discovered gold there. And what I found out when I went there is that at the site or at the time of Nancy Monroe Gooch's death, This black woman actually owned the original site of Sutter's Mill. I have been in contact with many of her relatives. The state of California said that there were no heirs. But we have dug deep, and we're still digging deep into history that is there. When we look at Fraser Valley in Canada, we see that we are there. The first governor of British Columbia was a black man. The first governor of British Columbia was a black man. We find that there are so many resources that are available. When we look at Colorado, for example, the state of Colorado had to change their law because one of the founding members of Colorado was a person by the name of Clara Brown. Clara Brown went from St. Louis to Denver area and had money to buy a stagecoach trip but couldn't because of the color of her skin. At the age of 60, she had to walk every step from St. Louis to Denver. She built three churches that still stand today. They had to change the law in order to allow Colorado to recognize her as a founding member, as a founding Coloradian. When we look at downtown Denver, there is a building built by Barney Lancelot Ford. And if you go into the Capitol at Denver, into the House of Representatives, there is a stained glass memorial to him. And he was one of the leading businessmen of the state. Now, he was a restaurateur, and he had built a restaurant in Central America, came back to California, discovered gold, and found out that the law prevented black people from filing claims for gold. And a white man stole that claim from him. When we begin to understand the history and what we have done, in fact, I'm going to use some language here that I normally don't use. He used to, they thought that he had buried a bunch of gold somewhere. And he'd play a trick on the people of Denver. He would walk out of town. He knew a couple of secret ways back into town. And so until, I believe, the 1960s, on the maps in Colorado, they had a place called Nigger Hill. And that's where they thought that he had hidden his gold. But when you go to Breckenridge, he has a home there that is just outstanding. And so we think that all we have done is stayed here, pick cotton, made master rich. We have done things that we would be proud of, that most of our people would be proud of. Black people, white people, Asian people, Native Americans, everybody else would be proud of. But we don't know about it. And therefore, we're raising a bunch of kids that don't know, excuse me, where they came from or what they've done.
Yes, sir. That is certainly right. That's why I'm here sitting here listening to you seeking knowledge. That is one thing I would like to tell our young African-American men to get up and do something. Don't just sit there and wait. I know some young boys now sitting waiting on a job which was promised to them a year ago, still sitting waiting on that job. In a year's time, I would have had two or three jobs, not sit somewhere and wait. Seek knowledge and try to find out there's an answer to all of this mess, but we're not going to find it at the house. We have to get out there. We have to get out there in the streets and what things going on there. Ain't nothing happening at the house. No, nothing but
right.
Getting older, holy each and every
right.
day. Get out there, seek this knowledge, and stop laying around, wasting time. That's what you're doing. You're wasting very important time. When you get old enough to retire.
What we do is we look for a handout. We want a grant. We want this. We want that.
Yep.
The people that get off of their hands and knees and get out there and work are the ones that are going to make it happen.
Gonna make it happen. That's true. One does not happen. Making it happen because you can't do it at home. You have to get out there in the mix. Be out there when something's going down, something going on. Go to those school board meetings. Go to the county council meeting. Go to all of the meetings that you hear that's going on in your district, wherever you live. Go to the meetings and see. And voice your opinion. They don't know you even there. You're not saying anything, and have something to say when you go and see if they don't really recognize you. People will help you if they find out and see that you're trying to do something. But if you're standing there with a cup in your hand, I'm not going to give you anything either. No, go to work.
Right.
Yes.
You know, I say that there should never be a public meeting at which somebody isn't there to represent our community.
That is exactly
right. And we
right.
need to get involved in the politics. We can't just wait for somebody to run for president. All politics are local, and we need to know what's going on. Here in Spartanburg, we lost the swim center because we didn't know about it, what was going on, until it was too late. We need to be in the front of this situation. What it reminds me of is this bee was laying on a piece of grass and got eaten by a cow and said, you know, I'm going to sting this cow here in a minute, but I'll just take a nap. Next thing you know, he wakes up in his stomach. Yeah, well, I'm pretty deep into this. I'll wait a little while longer. He waits a while longer, and next thing he know, he looks up and he sees the sun. And the cow is gone. Now, we can't wait to do our thing until that cow is gone because it's too late. We need to be ready, active, and about the business of being about the business. Now, some of you people are listening. Call in. Don't be afraid. We're not going to bite you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything else. We are welcoming you as part of this community. So come on, call in. You don't have to be black. You don't have to be white. You don't have to be Asian. You don't have to be Native American. Be a human being and call in.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm seeking knowledge. It's things that I face every week. I need to know. I need to know something about what's going on. And I done found out that I cannot find out this information just only in the book. You need to be out there amongst and with really what's going on so you will understand. It won't be nothing handed down or something that you heard. You know, you can say, I was there. And Lord knows I've been there in a lot of cases, the only black person there. So the NAACP here in Spartanburg, they said I think it's 83 or 86 vacancies in Spartanburg County where they need people to run for public office. I think a lot of them was with the school buses. I'm not sure, and I believe the state of South Carolina, I believe it needed 400 school bus drivers. Now, some of us, I don't know what y'all are doing, but it's a job. And the other offices that we have vacant in Spartanburg County, the last time you voted, how many vacancies was there on our voting card where that was unopposed from the Republican Party? I don't know exactly how many it was, but somebody need to have been running for those offices. Who knows?
Yes,
you may
sir.
Just be the right person to fill that office and do good.
You know, when Martin Luther King went to Montgomery, he was young, very young.
Yes.
I end up knowing the guy that nominated him to head the Miami Improvement Association. And he didn't take the excuses. I don't know anybody here. I don't have connections here. He took on faith. And this is what we have to do. Because when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so we have to go with that faith. We have to go to those meetings. We have to understand what's going on. We have to ask questions. We can't sit there in the back of the room like we're invisible. That's why we are where we are today. The invisible spook by the door. We need to be aware. We need to be visible. We need to be conscious. And we need to understand that God did not make any junk. God did not make any junk. He made you just as good as anybody else. The determining factor is whether you say, I am here to serve. I am here to serve. Teach me, and I will go forth and do what I can. Blessings will fall on you, and they'll fall on everybody else.
Yes.
But this is what it takes.
Today at my church out at Travel Address, on the fifth Sunday, they read out the names of the young people that had done well in school. They called about 8 or 10 young people out of our church who had made A's all of this year, all of this term in school, making A's. Now we have some smart people. If there's anything, you may be overqualified, but there are some smart kids in this country, and they know what to do with these cell phones and computers. Now, there's no reason for us to continue to be behind in everything. We have the smart.
No.
We have the knowledge. Our young people, they have it. But you can't, unless you get out there and show that you do have it, then that's all you will ever. You'll just have it. The community and the country won't never know anything about it if you don't step up and step out and say something. Thank you, sir.
And see, a lot of this comes from our parents. We have to encourage our kids to do better. And we need to learn to do what we need to do before we learn to do what we want to do. So many of us are capable, but we want to play before we do our work. Do your work first, and that will be a guiding principle for the rest of your life.
Yes.
You will be that leader. You will be that that powerful person that we see. Remember to keep prayer in your life. Remember that you have been anointed, but you must recognize that. And it's not a joke. It's not a funny thing. You must work at it. Because God took his disciples and worked with them. He worked with 12 people. They changed the world.
Yes.
What do you think he would do with one person or a small group of you? And if you find others like you. Don't find others that ain't like you, others that you don't want to be like. Success breeds success.
Yes.
We have what is necessary. Now, when we go back, we're going to look at something like the Stonewall Rebellion. We get all these stories that, these people were so happy picking Master's cotton. Master had to sleep, with one eye open because he knew that wasn't what these people wanted. We never did. But we can change. And we must change. And we must learn the lessons. Excuse me. We must learn the lessons that are essential to us. Anybody else want to call in, contribute? You're welcome, folks. I want you to join us again next week. Mm-hmm. Now, we're about, we have 20 minutes or so, but I'm not going to stay on. I'm wearing down. But I want you to join us because we will talk about some of these things. When we look at Clemson University, for example, Tillman Hall, a hall honoring a man who has acknowledged that he's killed black people and he will continue to do it. And the legislature says you can't change the name of that hall without three-quarters of all the legislatures approving it. What does that say? It says in your face, and I'm not going to accept it. Whatever it takes, if it takes 99%, we'll do it. We need to change these things. But we must recognize the fight. We must recognize that we cannot give up. The Lord has led people in mightier fights than this. When we walked around the walls of Jericho, those walls came tumbling down. And there's nothing that says that any wall ever built cannot come tumbling down. But we must be dedicated. We must focus, and we must do it. With that, my friends, I hope that you've gained some knowledge. I hope that the link that you have to amazing black history, that you will begin to look at it each and every day, because we are going to talk about these massacres, these riots, and other steps that are embarrassing to Europeans that we don't want you to know about. But we have persevered, and we will continue to persevere.
Yes, sir.
Don't lose sight of the prize. We must understand, and we must understand whose we are and the power that came from our Creator. Powerful, powerful, powerful words. It's powerful. I will again see you next week. I hope that those of you that are on will read each day and keep track of it, because during the month of February, during the month of March, it is going to be a learning experience like none other. So hang on to your hats, folks. Hang on to your hats. We will see you again next week. I appreciate you, Marshall, more than you'll
Thank
ever know.
Thank you, sir. God bless. God bless.
Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and I'll see you again next week. The program you're listening to is Did You Know? Success Leaves Footprints, and I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. Join us every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.